Welcome to Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure. I'm Bill Tilley.
And I'm Rob Schulte. And Bill, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful every day. Most days I'm thankful. But today is a special Thanksgiving episode. And we've got a guest who I'm most thankful for because it was a long shot, but the algorithm worked. Today we have Mike Bedard. He's got a very popular TikTok account called Cinema Singularity. Welcome, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is amazing when these things work out. You know, I followed you for a little while now. I really love your content. But one day you were like, hey, I got a microphone. I'd like to be on podcasts. And I was just like, thank goodness he put his email in his account handle because I am reaching out right now. Because your TikTok account really syncs with what we like to do on this podcast. And so it's great to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a case of the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I just put out a video out there because I felt like being on a podcast. I felt like as an influencer, and I feel confident in calling myself an influencer, that it was time for me to be on a podcast. This is my podcast debut, by the way, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
This is me podcasting it up for the very first time.
Bill, do you hear that, man? I feel very fortunate.
I wondered why there was a couple of set of spotlights that were going off outside the house when this episode started. And now I know this is a big premiere. So, Mike, you're in great hands. Rob's, sometimes I call him the Podfather, is wonderful at this. So, and we are very happy that you picked our humble show to make your debut on. So congratulations and welcome to the world of digital audio.
Now, Mike, I was going to say, we're going to talk about today's subject matter momentarily, but could you give our audience members who may not be familiar with your account kind of like the elevator pitch, what you like to cover and how it works for you on TikTok?
Sure. The channel is called Cinema Singularity. I talk all things movie, TV, and pop culture, movie reviews, TV analysis, just my random thoughts about what's going on in the zeitgeist, everything and anything you can imagine in that realm.
It's great. Like I said, I am a big fan. Now, today we're going to be talking about Garfield's Thanksgiving from 1989, a classic for all of us who have enjoyed the Garfield franchise, Garfield and Friends, Garfield the comic. It's a good one, but before we get to Garfield, I kind of want to talk about like our relationship to like media, holiday-themed media, and what that means to us. Bill and I have a little bit of an age gap, so there's some fun stuff that like Bill likes to introduce me to, but we both kind of experience some of the same stuff. One thing I'll talk about is like whether it's the autumn holiday to winter holiday season, I love watching television specials that are based on Halloween, Thanksgiving, they really are something fun. And especially if it's dated, you get like maybe 9 episodes of a certain show you can watch. And, you know, there are movies out there that are fun. You know, there's always horror movies for Halloween. Maybe you can watch Stepmom for Thanksgiving. But are there any holiday specials, Thanksgiving, Halloween, winter time that jump out to you, Mike?
I would say my favorite, since this is the Thanksgiving episode, my favorite Thanksgiving special was the Hey Arnold Thanksgiving episode growing up. Just so everyone knows the context of the age going on here, I was born in 1991, so Hey Arnold was like just the perfect TV show for me growing up. And it was such a, this may sound corny, and no pun intended for Thanksgiving, but it really captured the meaning of the season. It was Hey Arnold and I think Helga and the other kids try to find like the meaning of the holiday, and they go to their teacher's house, and he, because they think, oh, he's perfect, like he'll have a good Thanksgiving, we can all go over there and enjoy ourselves. But they find out that he doesn't really get along with his family. His family is over there arguing, and they realize, hey, we don't have it bad. So they go their separate ways and go back to their families and enjoy Thanksgivings respectively, however their various families celebrate. And so that was really, and, you know, of course, all the other Thanksgiving specials, Rugrats. It was just anything that, like, because growing up, like, you had that week off of school. And growing up, that was, like, the only time you could watch those Thanksgiving specials and Christmas specials and Halloween specials. So it was really a big deal, you know, while the parents are, like, busy making the meals, the kids are just like gathered around the TV watching these specials, because prior to streaming, when you can just watch it whenever, that was the only time you could watch it. So it was a really important to like get your TV watching habits in order during those respective holidays.
I love that Hey Arnold special. I love like the anytime there was like a Doug Thanksgiving as well. I put that on the Nickelodeon docket in my youth. Bill, what about you, man?
Well, they were always great things to see when I was a kid. I'm a little bit older than both of you guys. I was born in 73, so I was watching these things in the 80s and always loved the holiday episode of a show, because it was great to see your TV friends or heroes or any of those kind of things on screen doing the same thing that you want to do. They just want to get home to have their turkey. You can relate to all of it. It was nice to see them in that setting. But I also really did like the specials, because for all the reasons you said, Mike, you had to really kind of concentrate. They weren't on that often. And one really neat thing about the cartoon ones were they would almost always be in prime time. And back then, watching a cartoon in the evening was a pretty rare occasion. So if you could actually sit down in the 8 to 9 hour and catch a cartoon in the evening, that just felt like you got an extra almost weekend day. Like you got Saturday morning early. So I was very fond of watching these things, all of them, when I was a kid. So the animated ones were really great. So to watch this again was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. So I chose Garfield's Thanksgiving because there's something off about the Garfield specials. I maybe we'll figure out what it is by the end of this episode, but I've watched the Halloween special. I've watched a Christmas special. I had never seen the Thanksgiving special, and it just stuck out to me. I used to watch Garfield and Friends the cartoon before going to like school in the morning. I used to watch it on weekends. I only recently discovered these 80s specials that came out. And Garfield's Thanksgiving came out in 1989. Lorenzo Music did the voice of Garfield. He also did the voice in the real Ghostbusters, Gummy Bears, Tailspin. And he was a writer on Rhoda, which I found very interesting. The Mary Tyler Moore spinoff, right, Bill?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Tom Hughes is John, and he's only ever voiced John Arbuckle. That's his only gig in all of the IMDb scouring that I found. Greg Berger did the voice of Odie. He's a various video games voice. He's done some other cartoons. Here's one I found interesting. Julie Payne, who played Dr. Liz Wilson, is Cheryl's mom in Curb Your Enthusiasm. She was also on Wonder Years and Beverly Hills 90210. And sorry, guys, I'm just going to top this off with our last two. Grandma Pat Carroll is Ursula in The New Little Mermaid, but she was also in shows like Pound Puppies and She's the Sheriff, which I am dying to find a copy of the DVD of She's the Sheriff. I probably won't. Probably does not exist. And then, Mike, you may not know this, but a couple episodes ago, Bill and I put out an episode on the season 1, episode 1 of Baywatch Nights, starring Lou Rawls, who sings and performs the song Make Thanksgiving One Whole Meal on this special. Oh, man.
So there's a theme going on.
Yes. I'm trying to just tie the thinnest line through all of our episodes. And if it's got to be Baywatch Nights, I'm doing it.
And you've just got to wonder what negotiation went down to get Lou Rawls to do this. It's just the business side of thinking about these things that we just were like, it's just television, but all the things that go into making it are the really part of the fun part too. And to think somebody had to contact Lou's agent, pitch this idea, somebody had to sit and write it. Do you ever sit there and think, it's like, I'm a superstar, I've done many things, do I really need to be doing it? Or was he just like, I like Garfield too, I'm down, so I want that story. Where's that behind the music?
Yeah. Now before we get into our likes, dislikes, things we found amusing and talking points for this episode, I just want to, you know, give the audience a chance to know what the hell's going on in this episode by our patented segment, Back of the Box, where I read the back of the original VHS box for this special. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to read the back of the VHS box, but I'm also going to read the streaming description just so everyone knows exactly how different they are. The back of the VHS box goes like this. When Garfield and John create a Thanksgiving dinner disaster, it's up to Grandma to save the holiday. Is John crying over chilled turkey? Does Grandma cook to a different drummer? Will Odie blow the whistle on Garfield? Garfield's Thanksgiving, you'll keep coming back for more. Okay? And the streaming description...
But I just want to say, they totally missed a mark. You'll totally come back for seconds. This is Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Exactly. Someone needs to be on this punching up these VHS boxes.
The 80s just didn't have the same level of copywriters that they have today.
Or, quite honestly, copy editors. I had to fix the grammar and punctuation on some of this. The streaming description is, on Thanksgiving, according to Garfield, people celebrate food by eating as much of it as possible. It's a tradition. I love tradition. But that tradition is history. Following a checkup from veterinarian Liz Wilson, a sassy lady who's also the new heartthrob of Garfield's owner, John. The bad news for Garfield? He must go on a diet. So the stakes are just completely different, whichever one you read. Who knows? It could be very exciting viewing, depending on the audience there.
I love these descriptions. I think too many of the guys that were sitting around in the room just maybe had a few too many cigarettes and had to get home to their own Thanksgiving and just threw that one away. So, yeah. But it's really fun. I do like the streaming description better, which is odd because normally I don't. But it's a little too on the nose. But the pull quote really sells it for me. So, yeah. And it kind of leads into, I think, a perfect way of the kind of things that we do like and dislike. Since we have a bit of competing descriptions, we can do a little bit of competing on what we liked and maybe disliked, or maybe we liked everything about this episode. So, Rob, do you have a couple of likes that you might be able to throw our way?
Yeah, I'll get us started here, and then Mike, I'll throw to you, and then Bill, you can bring it home. And, you know, if we interweave in between there, I'm all for it because I love vamping. It is a podcast. I'll start out with, I love the idea that John asks Liz out on a date to Thanksgiving dinner. Like the idea that you're like, oh, I have this crush, and, you know, not to mention that he does it in a really childish way by holding his breath until she agrees to go out with him. Like, you are an adult, man. Now, you're an adult living alone who is not invited to your family's Thanksgiving for some reason, but also, like, read the room, man. Maybe Liz has a family to go to. She doesn't, but I found that hilarious. I thought it was really unfortunate that John bought a talking scale that insults you if you're overweight. Bill, have you ever heard of a talking scale? Mike, has this ever popped up in any media that you've seen, you guys?
I have heard of a talking scale. I know they exist. I'm not sure that they're built with snark chips at all. That's kind of a thing that would be a hard sell for marketing for me. I just don't know why you would do that. And this bit goes on a long time for a cartoon. It is digging a hole between Garfield and this scale that is just, I think this is where the writers were like, this is my moment to sneak this thing in and this thing in. And it is some dated references. This scale apparently had its chip built sometime in the late 70s because it hadn't been updated by the point he steps on it. And just for your earlier point, Rob, about John asking Liz out to Thanksgiving, what I found strange is she doesn't vet this at all. Like, she doesn't even ask, well, who's going to be there? Will it be your entire family? Will it be your mom, your dad? None of that stuff. She's like, okay, and I know that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to walk into Thanksgiving in some stranger's house and just be like, hey, people I've never met in a family setting I'm not sure of. So I give it up for Liz, man. She's just going to charge right into this thing. She's like, I'm a game. She throws down like a player. So good for her.
Yeah. Mike, how about you? Any thoughts that are brought to your attention from either of those points?
Just Liz. Yeah. Going to John's house for Thanksgiving on a first date. Like, yeah. I remember I'm married now, but like when I was single and dating, like I asked a girl out on like Tinder, like if she wanted to go out, and the day happened to be Valentine's Day, which is like, which I didn't realize, but I just asked her out and she was like, oh no, sorry, it's Valentine's Day. I might have something going on. And it's like, it's not like people have barbecues on Valentine's Day, at least that I'm aware of. But Liz just goes on a Thanksgiving date with John when she doesn't even seem to really like him. As the one of the descriptions said, she's sassy and she lets him know it that like she is not interested, but like she just goes anyway. So I think she was interested more than she was letting on. Like I think she had a thing for him.
Yeah, I think we need the prequel with Garfield's earlier visits, because John's smitten with Liz when he takes Garfield there, but apparently we just got to see the Seal the Deal episode for the most uncomfortable holiday meal probably anybody could ever have.
Yeah. One other thing I'd like to say is this is obviously made for children, and the snark chip, as you put it, Bill, is telling Orson Welles jokes. Like, what child who's watching Garfield? I guess you got to throw in something for the parents. That must be what it is here.
I think so, but I think this is going to start to bleed into your earlier point, Rob, of what you thought felt odd about this thing. And I've knew Garfield all these years, and you've seen the things that they've done. I've always felt that Garfield is a middle-aged man. He doesn't talk like a normal cartoon animal. It's not like a young thing. He's a grumpy old cat, and he acts like a grumpy old cat, and it is kind of grumpy old man humor that he puts out there. He's not down with any of it. He's just put off by everything. He can't stand the dog. John's just it's just a wear and tear on him all the way around. So when you hear an Orson Welles joke, the only thing that scale was missing was Paul Lynde's voice when it told that joke. And then it would have been perfect, because the guys in the office clearly told this to each other in the office, and they all went, this is great, and didn't really care too much about the kids on this one, I don't think.
Rosebud.
Yeah.
Does the scale have a cat setting? Because I'm assuming, I don't know how much Garfield is supposed to weigh, but like a normal like fat cat would weigh, what, 30, 40 pounds maybe on the obese side?
Like, at max, yeah.
But that wouldn't be, sure. That's not, you know, Orson Welles fat for a human. So no. Does the snark chip have a cat setting where it's like, okay, you're fat for a cat. I got some awesome Orson Welles zingers that I've been waiting for this, because John's pretty skinny. I haven't been able to use them on him, but I'm going to use them on you and they're going to land. Yeah.
Oh, that man.
Is great.
I love the idea that you just put out there that the scale has a vengeance factor built into it. That's great.
Mike, what else jumped out to you about this Thanksgiving special?
John is just, he's sort of the prototype for like Jerry Smith from Rick and Morty. But whereas Jerry doesn't have the respect of his kids or his wife, John doesn't have the respect of his animals. Like, he is just completely out of his depth for the most basic of tasks. The main crux of the episode is obviously like him trying to cook Thanksgiving dinner and he can't do it. He just doesn't know what to do. He also just doesn't know how to dress himself. There's a whole sequence of him going into the closet and doing like a classic 80s getting dressed montage of going in and coming out when wearing something ridiculous every time, and Garfield says something for each time, like, but yeah. And then when John goes to greet Liz, he's not wearing any pants. This is a man who just cannot do anything for himself. Like, how does he afford this house? I know it's the 80s, it's not like today, but how does he go about his life?
How does he go about his life? How does he take care of two animals too? Like, he could barely take care of himself. I'm terrified, but I guess Garfield finds a way to eat no matter what.
Yeah, and strangely enough, not eating lasagna at this Thanksgiving dinner, his trademark food.
And he tries to ruin the meal, the vegetables, by throwing garlic on it. You would think that Garfield would love garlic.
Yeah, I really think, oddly enough, I think Garfield is the enemy of this whole entire piece. This is really a real flip.
It really makes you think.
Hi, Craig here from the Bachelor Masters podcast. Do you watch the Bachelor shows ironically, like we do? Do you think critically about the socio-political ramifications of what occurs in the shows, like we do? If so, we're the podcast for you. We, the Bachelor Masters, combine deep dives into the show's problems with jokes and even some sound effects to deliver what we think is a well-rounded podcast you'll enjoy after every episode. So give us a listen, as ironically as you want, on your favorite podcast app. That's The Bachelor Masters, a Bridgeburner podcast.
Do you prefer your podcast to have solo narrators to two people telling private jokes?
Are you looking for a podcast that is about true crimes and unsolved mysteries and not, I repeat, not, two friends hanging out and rambling about nonsense?
Do you like podcasts that stay on topic 100% of the time?
If you answered yes to these questions and reenacted an Unsolved Mysteries podcast, it's not for you or the folks that left us those one-star reviews. We are just two pals who love the 1990s show Unsolved Mysteries and have no interest in actually solving mysteries from the episodes we watch and recap.
Come get spooked with me, Robert, and my friend and relatively normal woman, Christo, every 2 weeks as we talk stack, ghosts, UFOs, food, and occasionally crime on Reenacted and Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
Mike, is there any other points that jumped out to you? I love the montage part, because especially when one of the outfits was John as an ape. But yeah.
He just has that in his back pocket just in case. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. It was Halloween, his Halloween costume.
Yeah, fair. I will say, though, that like I haven't mentioned Grandma, but Grandma really comes in like a runaway train, cooks the meal, and then leaves. What is Grandma doing on Thanksgiving if not with her family? Like, if we are to know that John only has Grandma as a family member, they are actively not wanting to spend Thanksgiving together.
Yeah, Grandma makes the food. She leaves, maybe to go spend time with like the other members of the family who we don't. I don't know. Is it Garfield canon that like John has siblings or something? Or he must have.
I think so in other specials, because there's a whole Christmas one I know that family shows up to, but they're nowhere to be found on Thanksgiving.
Do you think, because Grandma is so adept at entering and exiting the home with nobody finding out, that maybe Grandma's what's keeping John alive?
Oh, wow.
Maybe this just kind of this weird relationship they've got going. She sneaks in, she puts the food together for him to eat. He thinks he did it, and life goes on about that. Maybe John doesn't do anything. That's just her job, just to keep John alive and out of the way of the rest of the family.
Jeez, that's setting him up for failure once Grandma leaves this mortal plane. But Bill, what do you have? What really stuck out to you that we haven't spoke of already, or we can elaborate more on?
Well, one thing I really like is I like the effort that the animators put into what I would call the sets on a normal thing, the backgrounds, the house. When you look in the places, there's all the little touches and parts that a real house or a real vet's office, or when they go down the street, the car, everything, they're there. They're drawn in a weird kind of obscure sort of a little abstract way, but they're all there. Like, there's a point where it caught my eye as John and Liz are going back and forth in the office when the camera, quote unquote, zooms in and out. Liz has a diploma on her wall that just says diploma, as they all do, and some things on it. But when it racks in, you see more on it. It says veterinary. It's got some stuff on there. It's like, I'm like, look at that. They took the time in this thing to change that background and add some stuff into it. So I really like that. It put a nice little spin on things. What I didn't like about what they drew was, as they're going down the street in the car, where Garfield is pulling things out of the grocery bags, shoving them under John's face, telling, I like cookies. I like these things. At one point, he goes, I like coleslaw. And into frame comes Garfield's paw with what I can only describe as a pile of yellow mucus. It is a solid yellow glob that he puts under John's nose and goes, coleslaw. And I would like to find the animators that did this and ask them, I don't think you've ever seen coleslaw. Because that is not what coleslaw, when you don't want to hold it in your hand like that way, and that's not what it looks like. So either that's not what that was, or Garfield really can't read and he got in the egg yolk or something. So
that's a regional recipe.
Yeah, that threw me off. And then the other thing I did like is in the doctor's office, the little bit of absurdity that comes in from a cartoon that you can inject, all the pets that are waiting. One guy in the office has a fish on his lap. Yeah. He's holding his fish, large fish, about the size of a large catfish, on his lap. Fish is gasping for air, and I'm thinking, I know what's wrong with that one. I don't know what's wrong with that weird cartoon dog or the cartoon cat, but that is not how you transport a fish. So Somebody needs to get on that.
He got his hands on a fish somehow and was just like, what do I do with this? I need to be a vet because it's dying. Is there something horribly sick with this catfish?
Yeah. And they took the time to draw into this quote unquote children's cartoon. There's this man who's clearly just killing this fish in front of us. So that was interesting. And then the only kind of thing that I really disliked about the show was I don't think Odie was given enough to do. Odie's a central character and he's kind of lost in this one. He has his one long bit is popping up out of the cans on the kitchen counter, blowing the Garfield's breaking his diet whistle. And that bit went on for what felt like about 20 of the 20 some odd minutes of this special. So I think we could have done a little better with Odie in a little more creative way than just having him play whack-a-mole with Garfield's diet whistle. That would have been nice.
Well, and then Odie's the one who has to exercise at the end of the episode. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, he's collateral damage. He's caught up in this scheme that's out of his control. Poor Odie.
Well, I think we have exhausted a lot of the fun of Garfield's Thanksgiving. And I hope that anyone who hasn't watched the episode will actually go watch it because there is some value to this. Like it has lasted. It still shows on repeats from time to time. You can find it on YouTube for free. But Bill, if we were to rate Garfield's Thanksgiving, could you give us some sort of formula in which we could do that?
Oh, I believe I can give us that formula. It's a patented one that we've come up with now. As we've said before, it used to be a time where you could go to the video store and you could probably get this on videotape in your local video store and take it home and watch it for Thanksgiving. But there used to be a section in those stores, usually something called or something along the lines of Five Nights for a Dollar, where they would pile a bunch of movies in there and you could have that movie for five whole nights for your dollar. It was your value item. So we like to take a movie like this one and say, if you had gotten this in the video store, you've put down your dollar, you've taken it home, how many nights are you going to keep it? And that is the strict, this one, it doesn't relate to anything else you've seen. You got a Garfield Thanksgiving. How many nights are you going to keep that and watch it over again? Let's start with you, Robs.
Wow. I feel so honored to be chosen to go first. Well, I would say that if it's only a dollar and I get to keep it for five nights, I think I'll keep it for four. Four out of five, because nice. For what it is, I'm not comparing this to anything else. I may want to watch it a couple more times. I mean, hell, just for this podcast recording, I watched it three times. It's short, it's sweet, it's silly, it's a little ridiculous, and I can watch it for what it is, and I can watch it for its absurdity, and I can watch it to take notes on why it was made. And It really, like, you know, that's three different things that I could watch this for. And so why not keep it an extra night? Because maybe I want to show it to someone else. So I'll give it four out of five. Mike, how about you?
I would say I'd keep it for three nights. I like some of the bits in it. I think as a kid, I would have liked the animation and some of the humor. But ultimately, it's just, I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't quite feel like a classic Thanksgiving special. I know we kind of talked about this already, but the Hey Arnold special, it's all about family and it makes you feel good. Like when you're finished watching it, you kind of sit there and say, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Like it's time to spend time with my family. And Garfield, as we mentioned, they don't spend time with their family. John spends his Thanksgiving with someone who's effectively a stranger. I mean, I don't know how close most people are to their vets, but he's just trying to get, you know, he's trying to get some.
Yeah.
And he spends Thanksgiving with this woman, his dog, and his cat. And it just doesn't have that same, like, feel of, oh, it's Thanksgiving. I should be grateful for my family and my friends and whoever I'm spending Thanksgiving with. It just sort of feels like here's a bunch of gags. And also they eat at the end.
Yeah, I completely understand. Bill, how many nights are you keeping Garfield's Thanksgiving?
Well, I really think I'm falling on the Mike side of the Thanksgiving fence on this one. So I have the same problem with it. It's not really a Thanksgiving episode. It's more of an episode of John getting a date. It just happens to happen on Thanksgiving. So they get to throw some of that in. So I would keep this probably two full nights and make sure that I brought it back the next day, which would be a 2.5 for me. It's neat and it's fun to watch again, but it doesn't leave much of an impression. And some of the jokes fall really flat. So if this had been more of a kind of wacky Thanksgiving adventure where they've got to go out and, you know, find the stuff to put dinner together, things like that, I would have liked it a little better. And I'm sure there's some stuff in the Garfield lexicon that would more than make up for it. But this one's, it's going back to the return slot, at 2.5 for me.
Ooh, so maybe you'll watch it for some Saturday morning cartoons, but you're returning it on your way to the store.
Yeah, for sure. Groceries. I'm glad I watched it, but gonna put that one in the old bicycle and ride that one back to the store during the daylight hours.
Fair. Well, this has been great. Mike, I want to talk a little bit more about Cinema Singularity. Could you just give us a little bit more than the elevator pitch this time? Maybe tell us some of the different series you've done that have gotten some traction, some of your favorite moments from your account, anything that might entice the listeners to, if they don't have TikTok, it's more than just dances sort of thing.
It's more than just dances. I don't dance. Maybe I should. Maybe I'd have more. Maybe I'd actually get
I don't know, man. You're sitting at like, premieres. What did you hit? 150K?
I'm at 150K, baby.
Wow. Wow. Please share this episode. No, that's congratulations, man. That's quite a feat for real. Like, but I stepped on you. Please tell us more about what you like to do on there.
Sure. It's a lot of movie reviews. I rate TV episodes, so I'll follow like all the big series like House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, Rick and Morty, just anything that tends to be buzzworthy. And I'll review each individual episode and I'll do series. So I'll do one I'm doing now, which will probably be completed by the time this podcast episode comes out, is cameos that have not aged well. So like Lance Armstrong appearing in Dodgeball and then getting caught for doping. Or just various terrible people who were once loved, like Mel Gibson, just everyone in The Simpsons fawning over him in that one episode.
Yeah.
Which ironically enough also has a bit where Robert Downey Jr. is in a shootout with the police. And they're just like, oh, look, Robert Downey Jr. shooting a movie. Yeah. And then Bart's like, I don't see any cameras.
I forgot about that. That's the one where they do like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington Part 2 or something, right?
It's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, but Homer doesn't like it because it's a bunch of talking. So he convinces Mel Gibson to make it more of an action movie where he ends up just shooting up Congress at the end.
Oh, man. Have there been any highlights on the account that you were like, oh, this did surprisingly well. I'm going to keep going with something like this.
You know, the video that has performed the best was a TikTok fun fact on Twilight, of all things.
Ooh.
Because someone posted a video about the baby in the last or the second to last Twilight movie and just how like horrific it looks. So
very American Sniper.
I wish it was American Sniper. At least that they had the courtesy to like turn that baby's face away from the camera. So you just kind of. And then Bradley Cooper is just like making its arm move via his thumb.
Yes.
This is like just a horrific CGI creation. But like it could have been worse. So I stitched the original video with these behind the scenes footage of the first. What's the baby's name? Renesmee?
We haven't covered Twilight yet on the podcast. It's coming.
Got to get on that.
Yeah.
Got to hit it while it's timely. 10 years yes. after it came out. But I stitched that and just like provided this like behind the scenes clip of like what the original design of the baby, which was even worse somehow. And it got like 4 million views. Jesus. And I was like, oh, people like Twilight. I should do more Twilight videos, even though I don't know much about that series. So I tried it and they flopped. So it just kind of shows how you got to be quick on your feet and like always be looking for that next source of inspiration. You can't rest on your laurels.
I totally understand that. Bill and I are always trying to find our footing with this podcast, but I'm holding firm that our next series will be covering all of the Planet of the Apes movies.
I can deny Rob's nothing. If he wants apes he shall have. And to tell the audience, I was looking through your TikTok account. I really enjoyed your videos on some of the things where actors in their first roles, showing some of those clips, especially Tom Hanks and Mazes and Monsters, I believe is that what it was called?
And Monsters, the Dungeons and Dragons knockoff.
Yeah, because it really, I like to think that some of what Rob's and I do, we only have fun with these movies. And we can have fun with movies in a lot of ways now, especially things you've seen a lot or actors you've seen a lot. So you're doing what I think we do a little bit off of. It's almost like a kind of movie archaeology. You dig in and you find some gems and some things you can pull to the surface. And seeing something like that, seeing a fresh face actor that is now just a legend on screen and thinking, my God, were they ever that young? And was that ever considered good? The things that they just said, apparently it was. That was enough to get them launched. So it was really fun to go through your account and hit some of those things and just marvel at how you can still be a star and start out in something really not that great. It's just very inspiring. That's what Rob and I are hoping to do. We're, you know, start hoping to be stars, especially with me starting out being not that great. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun trying to like dig deep and like try to offer something different within the film talk community. You know, like you said, I mean, a lot of people tend to associate TikTok with, you know, Gen Zers dancing and I'm over here offering clips of Mazes and Monsters, the 1982 film about Dungeons and Dragons at the height of the Satanic Panic. So trying to give kids a little history and education about media that came out before their time.
It's great. Well, Mike, thanks again for joining us. This has been another fantastic episode of Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure. And we hope to have you back one day. Maybe we can cover Mazes and Monsters. You never know.
Absolutely. I would love that. And if you do the Planet of the Apes series, I wrote a short film called Planet of the Monkeys, where the Planet of the Apes has occurred. And so it follows this group of survivors trying to survive the monkeys. But the problem is they keep getting distracted by how cute the monkeys are. So the monkeys are like marching toward their camp. But it's like that circus music, like that. And they're just like all trying not to laugh, but they can't help it. It's so cute.
Oh, I guarantee we will cover that and have you on for that. That would be amazing. Bill and Rob's Podcast, baby! Well, Bill, that was awesome. I never thought someone from TikTok that I just enjoyed their account would respond to my random email and come on our little show. It's great. Mike was awesome. And I know I said it a million times in the show, but I really find his content a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. I checked out his channel, and that's one of the side benefits of what we're doing here, especially when we have guests on. It leads us to more fun things, more interesting things, and more nice people who are out there putting some thought and some effort into all the things they're doing. And it's not just the same old, same old. Mike's really digging into some stuff, and he's got new stuff and some old stuff. He appears to be a fan of those things, and it's great. It was really great to have him on, and I look forward to hopefully having him back in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go watch Mazes and Monsters. But until then, I just want to remind everyone that the biggest thing they can do to help this podcast is to share it with a friend. Share it on TikTok. Send them the link. But you can also join our Discord. You can hit us up with a one-time donation. You can leave us a voicemail on the adventure line. You know, Bill, that adventure line is 213-545-6176. Or click the links in the show notes. They all direct us to the place where you can leave a message or support the show. Everything is there for our listeners' delight. Now, Bill, there are a few thank yous we need to get to. Do you think you could cover those?
Oh, I think I can. I am very thankful that we have such great people who are involved with this show. I'd like to thank Jonathan for our amazing show art that we look at every week. It is awesome. It continues to be awesome. Makes me happy every time I see it. And I'd like to thank Draxium and Dr. Z. Once again, they have dropped the rockin' tunes that are the intro and outro and interstitials for our show. And maybe last, but certainly not least, I am ultra thankful, and I'm sure you are too, Robs, for the wonderful Mrs. Columbo, who helps listen to all of our shows. She QAs it. She gives her opinion. She is the other person tugging on the wishbone of Pod that you and I have the other end for. But even when it snaps, no matter who it goes to, we all wins with these people involved. So thank them. And thanks to all of you. As we always say, we don't have fans. We have friends. And all of you out there are friends for listening and subscribing and sharing. And sharing is one of the best things you can do for us. Please share our show with your friends, with your family. Drop it in any of your social medias, or just, hey, say it to somebody sitting next to you if it sounds like they're looking for a new podcast that's some fun for them. Give us a recommendation. We'd really appreciate it.
Very much so. Well, Bill, we've got a few more exciting things happening before we get to our new series coming at the top of the year. So stay tuned, everyone. You're going to get some holiday specials. You're going to get some shit that Bill and I just want to do, some freshness, and then you're going to get a whole new season. So until then, I've been Rob Schulte, and this is Bill Tilley. I'll see you. Wait, we'll see you, or you'll hear us next time on Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure. Goodbye.
Bye.